all 11 of you.
Happy Friday. It is the Jonathan Weir Show. We're going to kick off the list in just a second, but I would just like to welcome back to the show Rod Babcock, everybody. Look,
huh? Okay, are we getting tired of this show?
Hey, it's the second time this week I've welcomed you back to the show.
I know.
Welcome back. It was a long journey.
Shut your hole.
But here you are.
Rod, I'm really glad you're back. I missed you.
Thank you, Rebecca. He's back, too.
Not even in like a mocking way. Like, I'm just really glad you're back.
I'm glad you're back, too.
I appreciate that.
And I'm not going to say that I'm glad that you're back in a mocking way. I'm going to say in a genuine way, I'm glad you're back.
Uh-huh.
Every time we say back, he cringes a little bit, and I like that.
I do.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. So it's time for the Friday list, where we get 16 of something and then vote on which one is the best. This week, it's best short song. Now, we're looking for songs that are less than 2.5 minutes. Definitely less than 3, but preferably less than 2.5 minutes. So a song that leaves you wanting more. As always, Rebecca Crockett will be playing on behalf of the text line. So get your suggestions in now at 22980. That's 22980. Just text your suggestion to that number, 22980. Every 100th text that we get from the text line, that's going to be her pick. So if you have a pick in mind and you haven't heard us do it, just text it to 22980. And if it's the 100th text,
then I'm going to represent you.
The 100th text, then she'll rep ya right there. All right. So let's get started. Let's see. All of mine are good, actually. There's none that I have. Here's the thing. At least once a week when we do this, I always go,
it ain't cocky if you can back it up.
I like this, but I'm sure everyone else is going to be like, what the hell is he even doing right
now? Most of the time.
I'll lead off with this at 1 minute and 50 seconds. All right. Fall in love with a girl.
I love that song.
Go ahead and beat it. Remember the first, it's one of the few songs that I can genuinely say and remember. I remember where I was the first time I heard that song.
That's so funny because I can't do it. That was actually the first White Stripes song I ever heard.
Yeah. And I actually had heard songs by them before, but I'd never heard them on the radio. I had a bunch of friends who were in college, and they were a huge college band before they broke through on the radio. And I heard that on the alternative station in St. Louis, and I nearly cried. So I was like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for playing this song. It's so awesome. Because you have to remember, this is, what, 2003? And
yes.
Every song on alternative stations, unless it was classic grunge and stuff, was, just slit wrist rock, and it was horrible. It was just, I hate my dad, and new metal garbage, and then they play that, and I was like, oh, good, good, and it truly was the beginning of kind of a revolution in bringing back garage rock. So Fall in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes off the album White Blood Cells at 1 minute and 50 seconds goes on the list as my first pick. That's number one. Rod Babcock, you have picked number two.
Was the first song ever recorded by The Clash.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I don't think their bass player, Paul Simonon, is on it.
No, they broke into a art school that had a recording studio. In the middle of the night, they literally broke in the place, recorded one song and ran off. Total gorilla punk rock, man.
That is the most punk rock thing to do, to break into a studio, record yourself, and then run away with the recording.
Yeah.
So White Riot by The Clash. You know, there's a lot of punk songs that we could put on there that we're not going to put on there.
I wanted to put Straight Edge on there, but I'm not going to go through the trouble of editing a 45-minute song that has three curse words in it.
There was literally...
A 45-second song, I mean.
There is literally a band who's... I got a two-word name, neither of which I can say on the air in the context, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
AC. All of their songs are like a minute long at the most.
And they're horrible.
And they're horrible. It's just the worst titles ever, stuff about like
just
babies and Hitler and stuff. But they're all less than a minute long because a lot of punk songs were like that. When I was in punk bands, it was a struggle to even play a song for longer than 2 minutes. All right, Rebecca Crockett.
Okay, from the text line, this song is coming in at 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay.
From the band U2.
And the trees are stripped bare. The hell is this?
This was requested a lot on the text line. It's called October.
I have no idea what this song is.
I do not either, but there was a lot of requests for it.
Was it from the same number?
You know, that couldn't be.
Because I've never heard the song. Okay.
Yeah, and like the first minute of it, there was no words at all. Like, I looked for lyrics, and I was like, wait, is there any lyrics on this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. About to revoke our text line's charter. No offense to the one person who texted that a million times. And I don't even hate U2. I like U2, but I've never heard that song in my life. What album is it off of?
How should I know?
It should say it right in front of you.
No. No, it does not.
U2. That's off of the album October, which I've never even heard of the album October by U2. Must be one of the recent ones. No.
I will confirm that did come from the same number.
It did.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, you want to pick something else?
Yes, I will pick something else.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This one is 2 minutes and 21 seconds, and you will recognize it.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
Jim Croce. You know what you have to admire about Jim Croce? His songs are either sentimental songs that would play as like a 97-year-old man is dying in a hospital at the end of a movie. Or there's songs about bar fights in Chicago, and there's nothing in between.
You nailed it. That is Jim Croce.
That is his
entire
genre.
Catalog.
Entire catalog is it's either bar fights in Chicago or, I hate to tell you, great grandpa Gustafson died earlier today. He's gonna be missed. He's gonna be missed. Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce. That's very good. How long was it? 2 minutes and 22 seconds, you said?
Something like that.
All right. And by the way, I'm very sorry to the... I don't want to offend the listener who was texting in October over and over again by U2, but we also kind of have a rule against not doing that. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's the 100th text, unless you text something 47 times.
Unless you're spamming us. Right. All right. So this next song comes in at 2 minutes and 26 seconds. And I tried to keep all mine less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And this is the one that comes closest to breaking that rule. However, I don't think we can keep it off the list.
Drive our ships to New Land.
Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin goes on the list at number 4. Keep texting in your suggestions to 22980. So far, we have Fall in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes, White Riot by The Clash, Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce, and Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. That's 4. When we get to 16, we vote on which one is the best. What are we missing? You tell us. 22980. It's the Jonathan Weir Show. We'll be back in just 4 minutes at 6:24 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show. So
let's okay, go.
I love those guys.
Was it The Writings on the Wall? Which one is this? I can't remember.
This one's called White Knuckles.
White Knuckles.
Roman and I just the other day did the OK Go video marathon.
No, all of their videos are great. If you've only seen one,
I highly recommend it.
You might know them just as the band with the treadmill video, which is how they became really famous in the first place. But all of their videos are excellent.
Every single one, amazing.
Like works of art, amazing stuff. Like every video of theirs is as groundbreaking and amazing as Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer was the first time you saw that.
Yeah, they make Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer look silly at this point.
Yeah, they would have done a better job, honestly. I don't know that, though they could write a better song too. All right, Rod Babcock, we're doing the list of best short songs of all time, songs that are under 2 minutes and 30 seconds at their longest, and you have picked number 5.
Now, before we went on air, mm-hmm. you and I, both being ridiculous fans of the band The Beatles, had a discussion on how many Beatles songs are we allowed to put on the list.
Right.
Because there are many, many early Beatles songs.
A lot of their early songs are less than
under 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So anyways, we discussed it, and I'm going to go ahead and put this one on the list and just get it out of the way, because it's a great song.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I want to tell her that I love her a lot, but I got to get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.
I love
how great.
Love
is that?
That. And do you know I had a CD that cut that off for a very short time. If you bought the remastered Abbey Road that came out in like 2002 or something like that. It didn't have Her Majesty on it. Just like if you bought Nevermind, it didn't have Endless Nameless, like 17 minutes after the last song on that. They didn't have that jam session on some of the CDs that got remastered. I was livid. I was so angry. I actually returned the CD, and I was like, it doesn't have Her Majesty on it. They're like, the song's like 30 seconds long. I was like, yeah! So?
And it's important!
It's the last song! It's the surprise Indeed. Thing. It's the fact that you think everything's over because it ends on such a perfect note, and the Beatles go, we can't do that. That's too sappy. So they throw Her Majesty on there.
It's perfect.
They're geniuses, and how dare you cut them off.
So let's have we done a list rundown so far?
Yeah, I did one just a couple minutes ago. You want me to do another one?
Yeah, because I missed one somewhere.
Fell in Love with a Girl, White Riot, Time in a Bottle, Immigrant Song, and Her Majesty.
Okay.
You're right?
Yes. Okay. So that means it's Rebecca's
pick. It's Rebecca's pick.
It is my turn. And
Rebecca playing on behalf of the text line. Every 100th text that she gets goes on the list.
I really like this one.
Alrighty.
2 minutes and 8 seconds. Also from my birthday buddy.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel. I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely. I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so lonely, baby.
All right.
He has quite a few that could...
Yeah, well, I mean, any artist from the 50s and early right. 60s, because they didn't have the ability. First of all, it was a tape issue. They didn't have tape. It was too expensive to record longer than a couple minutes.
Right, everything
and
was
also,
really short.
You did singles, and singles only had, what, like 4 minutes a side?
Well, when they knew nothing of music yet. They were still you know, figuring it out,
yeah.
writing songs like After Wild Crocodile, which Roman and I had a conversation about that. I was like, do you think that, that they knew that going in, or do you think they sat around going, all right, let's see what we got.
Let's
you
see
know?
What we can do here.
So, yeah. Take that, you bat. No, that's not going to work. They're just like going through all kinds of stuff, trying to come up with a good, you know.
You know how you can tell whether...
Hit the road, you toad.
You're looking at an alligator or a crocodile?
How?
How is that, John?
Because with an alligator, they'll see you later, but with a crocodile, they'll it'll
see
be a
you
while.
In a while.
They'll see you in a while. I'm just going to sit here and let that one fester. Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. We could just move on.
No. We need to sit here with our shame.
Just move on, please.
All right. Next one is mine and... I'll save that one. You know, I really what I like about my picks today is I have a very good mix of usually like we do lists and sometimes it's all classic rock or it's all newer stuff, but I have a very good mix. So I'm not sure which one to go with. Another classic rock one or let's go with this one. This one is 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
I'm sad alone.
Did you know?
Oh, no, you're not going to ruin it.
I am going to ruin it for you. It is about a brain tumor. It is a benign.
I hate you.
It was a benign brain tumor that the lead singer had removed, and he wrote a song about it.
Okay, but he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay.
It explains why he was bald, though.
Now, that one's not so bad.
Yeah, see? That's a lump in my head. There
but
you
it's
go.
Such a positive
and
song.
And it's dead because it was benign.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
How is it a positive song?
It's like... Well, it's like upbeat. It makes me happy, like, to sing along with it, and then it's about a tumor in your head.
Well, see, if you didn't know it was about a tumor in your head, then you just thought it was about some skank who got around.
And
never really
paid
attention to the lyric.
Yeah. All right. Spent her 20s between the sheets.
I always thought that... Mud flowed up in Lump's pajamas and she pooped herself.
Wow, I never thought about that. That is horrifying. All right, that's number 7 on our list.
What happens when you drink too much?
When we get to 16, we'll vote on which one is the best. Number 8 is coming up, and that's Rod Babcock's pick. Any hint as to what it might be?
It's going to be a song that's short.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Do What You Want by OK Go. I'm the Jonathan Weir Show. We're doing our Friday list this week. The list is best short song, meaning a song that's less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So far we have 7. Fell in Love with a Girl, White Riot, Time in a Bottle, Immigrant Song, Her Majesty, Heartbreak Hotel, and Lump by Presidents of the United States of America. Rod Babcock has pick number 8. And what is that, Rod?
My song is very important. I like to speak of the true icons of a decade.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this.
People have serious things to say.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me?
The whole song's like a minute 45. And when I was a kid, I just thought it was the coolest song. And just the silliest thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember telling him, I was like, well, I want to play that silly song where she talks about bowling for dollars. So, yeah, I love that song.
I don't think I've ever been more angry than when I saw that in a Mercedes-Benz commercial.
Yeah.
I really
talk
like
about
that
missing
song.
The point.
Yeah.
I don't even know why.
Well, that's like putting Revolution in a Nike commercial.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like because there's a revolution, and that's what that song was about. It wasn't about how.
Obviously, you don't know what that song was about.
He was not violent, or he didn't want to commit to any extremist
group. So he wanted
group.
To go for a jog.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that song's about, going for
Look,
a jog.
It's about. If you're going to be out hitting the streets with your placards and signs and your chants, you need to make sure your feet are comfortable. Otherwise, you're going to go home early and the world's never going to change.
Are we still talking about the same thing?
Rebecca, yes. I believe the next pick is yours.
It is yours.
Jonathan goes completely insane.
Well, I mean, it's the text lines, but it is my favorite pick of the night so far, coming in at 2 minutes and 21 seconds.
All right.
Found my thrill. On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you, the moon stood still. On Blueberry Hill.
Domino, Blueberry Hill. That is a good pick. That is a sound one. You think a recording artist, can get away with calling themselves Fats these days?
I don't think they called themselves that.
Other people called him that, but he embraced it. I think that is the right thing to do. He's like, sure, I'm fat. Who cares?
No, but it's one of those things. You're like, you know, everybody's got a nickname. You know, they got Howlin' Mike. You know, you're going to have a name. We'll call you Fats Domino. Yeah, you're just like, hey, dude.
But also, I'm a really good... And I've got 7 fingers, by the way, on one hand.
Yeah.
You hear me call me 7 fingers? No.
That's very interesting, Fats.
It's really better than calling a fat guy tiny, though, because then that's just like
that's
mocking
just insulting.
You.
Yeah. And when you show up for a show, people don't know what you look like. They're like, when's Tiny getting here? This fat guy sucks.
Are you Tiny's bouncer? Oh, you're tiny.
Get off the stage, fatty.
There was a comedian that talked about, remember the TV show, Jake and the Fat Man?
Sure.
So do you think they were in the audition, like, you know, and they were telling people they got the part, and he's like, hey, you're not Jake.
You're the other one.
You're going to be that other guy.
Yeah.
Well, like, I got to be the fat guy.
Remember there was a show called Ugly Betty?
Because you have a sandwich in your
hand. Yeah.
What?
There was a show,
that.
Ugly Betty. Like, I always feel bad whenever they cast people in TV shows and they're supposed to be ugly or unattractive or fat or whatever. And it's like, I just feel bad for the person who was like, oh, yeah, I got to go out for this role.
You
I got to get
bad?
On TV in some way.
Well,
for
but they're only ugly.
Driving their new car.
Yeah, I'm sure they're getting paid so much.
House. No, but they're only ugly until they get their braces taken off and their glasses are removed.
Right. If the 90s movies with Freddie Prinze Jr. have thought is anything, it's
glasses and a scrunchie make any person ugly.
Yeah.
But what about like the Throw Mama from the Train Lady? I bet she had a good career.
She didn't have a good career until she didn't have a good career until she got that way. And it's mostly her voice. That's Anne Ramsey that you're talking about. And she had that voice because she had tongue cancer.
Well, she turned it into a positive.
She did. She turned it into a positive thing for her. And she also had children, which amazes me. Like somebody put on some Barry White, popped open a bottle of wine and said, hey, Anne.
And dimmed the lights way, way down low.
Anne, right, what do you want? Come here, Anne. We got some love to make.
I'm going
to
finish my soup first.
Damn, Ann Ramsey. All right. Doing the Friday list of best short songs of all time. Let's see. Let's go back to classic rock for this one.
While I look around for my possibilities.
so hard to bleed. Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel off of Bookends. Comes in at 2 minutes and 17 seconds. So it goes on the list.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with something more updated. I mean, not really current, but more updated. So I love this song. I don't care if anybody else knows it or likes it or not.
I'm feeling happy, so highly evolved. My time's a riddle that will never be solved. Dreaming for something, reaching for something. Just waiting for the sun to carry me. If you feel
love, you highly involved by the Vines,
sure.
At a minute 34.
Yeah.
I like this song.
I always like this song better than their big hit, which was
Get Free.
Get Free, which is a ripoff of Negative Creep by Nirvana, which in and of itself was a ripoff of Daddy's
okay, don't play that game.
Little Girl Ain't a Girl No More by Mudhoney. I'm just saying, I like that song better. Highly Evolved by the Vines goes on the list at number 11. Remember, there's no way we're sticking to 16, right?
I was going
to
say,
we're just
going
to call it now. There's no way we're going to stick to 16.
Yeah, because if we're already at 11, I ain't even started.
By the way, text line 22980, get your suggestions in so Rebecca can put them on the list. 22980, every 100th text that we get is her pick, and it is her turn right now.
Okay, this song I have put on the list, almost every list we have had,
mm-hmm.
And I almost didn't include it just for that fact, but it's such a great song, and the text line asked for it. So it's going on the list.
All right.
Oh, 2 minutes and 17 seconds.
Of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself.
Okay.
What a wonderful.
I love this song, and I'm not making fun of it, but. Everyone else hears that, like, weird thing after he stops singing, right?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, he has, like, this vibrato. It's like, skies are blue.
No, that's your hearing coming back into human range after a man who can sing that low.
Okay.
Has drug your hearing out down. Of, you know, your what you're comfortable with.
Because it's like... I don't... It sounds like he's, like laughing or humming to himself in between lines, which I'm fine with. I love the song, but I've always wondered if I'm the only one hearing that, and I guess
he's smoking the reefer.
It's like when Bill Grady stops talking, but yet there's like a subtle hum.
You still
that
hear
keeps
it
going? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See here again, a man who can speak outside of the normal range of human hearing, and you just can't stop listening.
I always like to think when I hear that song that it's Yoda singing too, by the way. So such a slimmer voice. I'm pretty sure Frank Oz, when he was asked to do Yoda, was like, well, I'd do a pretty good Louis Armstrong impersonation.
Good enough.
You want me to do that? Well, it's an intergalactic philosopher, warrior.
Yeah, that works.
So, yeah.
The Jonathan
Louis Armstrong.
Show.
Yeah, perfect. All right, coming up. More of our picks for the best short song of all time. What have we missed so far? 22980, text them in right now. I will tell you that my next pick might not be number one on our list, but it might be number two. Figure it out.
You're a number two.
It's coming up in 5 minutes. We'll be back at 6:53 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Your rooms are full of sorrow, everything's a stress. And what's more, well, it's all somebody's fault.
Yeah! Nielsen rated number one. Jonathan Weir Show here on KMBZ doing our Friday list of best short songs of all time. It has to be songs that are less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. We have 12 so far. We usually do this, we'll get 16, then we vote on which one is the best, but... We have so many picks. There's no way we're keeping it to 16.
I mean, here we're already at 12.
They're short songs, so...
So we should do more of them.
We should do more of them. So
run down the list.
Run down the list again? All right. We have 12 going backwards from 12. What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. Highly Evolved by The Vines. Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel. Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino. Mercedes-Benz by Janis. Lump by POTUS. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis. Her Majesty by the Beatles. Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce. White Riot by The Clash. And Fell in Love with a Girl by The White Stripes.
Oh, right. Yes.
Get your suggestions in on the text line at 2290.
I like it. It's a good list.
Every 100th text that we get on the text line ends up being your pick. Rebecca will play it on the air next time it's her turn.
She just did What a Wonderful World, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So now it's to you,
it's
sir.
It's me. And again, I said maybe the song won't be number one, but maybe it's number two. See, because I'm clever.
Because it's song two. Mm-hmm. So you said maybe it'll be number two.
See what I did there?
That joke's number two.
That joke's a big number two.
A big old double tapered number two.
Woo! Bam!
I can do this, hold on.
Woo! Bam! Woo! Bam!
I've got my head checked.
You know why the lyrics of this song are total nonsense? By the way?
Because that's how they wrote it?
Blur, typically, if you listen to Blur, I mean, maybe it's not the clearest lyrics. The guy sings with a heavy British accent, but they didn't write songs like this. They were a pop band, and they had a lot of really great Brit pop songs, but they were making fun of grunge. The whole point of song two was they're making fun of grunge. So he's mumbling the lyrics. It didn't really matter. And then big chorus. It ends up being their biggest song. And just like Fight for Your Right by the Beastie Boys, a song that they wrote as a joke, becomes their biggest hit.
Makes me like it even more.
Yeah.
And well, I didn't know I was on it.
Yeah. There is a...
Whoop-bam!
We should... It would probably not be the best list for everybody, but you and I should do a list sometime of songs that the bands just hate.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Like every... Yeah,
songs that they wrote as a joke and we're like, no.
Well, yeah, or ones that they refuse to play. Like, Pretenders will not play Brass in Pocket.
They will not.
And right. I love that song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were saying the other day that Maggie May by Rod Stewart was like, they're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, no, he said he was talking to some friends about the album and a couple of them were like, what's with this last song? This Maggie's with that?
Yeah.
It just goes, there's no hook. It just goes on and on. There's no. It's like if I was going to dump one, I'd dump that one.
Creep by Radiohead. They were.
I hate that.
They hate that song. And they were in studio. They weren't planning on putting on the album. Tom York, the lead singer, had just been messing around with it. And their producer heard it. He was like, oh, we need to record this. And the reason, if you hear that song, there's the gunk, 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 gunk. Right before the Creep thing is Johnny Greenwood, the guitar player, hated the song so much that he was trying to just put that in there like, I hate this song! I hate this song! Biggest song.
It's a good song. They should have done that more.
All right. So that's number 13 is song two by Blur. We're at 14, but we don't have time to get the next pick in, so we'll just wait on that. That's Rod Babcock and your next pick, number 14. As we continue our list of best short songs less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Coming up, we'll get all of our picks in. We'll probably stop at about 20 and then decide which one is the best of all of these songs. And I love it because that's the only thing that connects them is that they're short.
I have a tease for my next pick.
All right.
My next pick is from a band who we probably could have populated half the list with this band.
All right. It's coming up at 7:04 here on 98.1.
What is this show?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
I mean, is it left or is it right?
I'm independent.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
Woo! I'm independent.
Continue our Friday list of best short songs of all time. We have 13. It's Rod Babcock's turn. We are going to vote on these, but probably not before we get to about 20 or so. Rod.
That is me. I am Rod.
14.
Okay, I told you that somebody that we could have populated half the list with this band's anthology album. You gotta love the Ramones.
I know, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why.
A minute 30, oh, well, yeah. 32, I think is what it is.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Take it for
How long is this one?
1 minute, 32 seconds.
32 seconds.
And I think that's like dead air at the beginning and end of the song. I don't remember. I can never remember who it was, but some comedian that was doing an interview and he was talking about, you know, like we went to something and he's like, oh, and I got to see the Ramones. And he's like, it's awesome to see the Ramones. And just when you're in the middle of a concert and you think, surely he's not going to step up there and say 1, 2, 3, 4 again. Because he said it like every time. He goes, sure enough, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like, it's the greatest thing ever.
That's number 14 on the list. Jackie and Judy, or the return thereof by the Ramones, is on the list at 14. Rebecca, playing for the text line. Every 100th text that we get is your pick. What is number 15?
Brace yourselves.
Okay.
The text line is asking for a little country.
See, I kind of went through, seriously, when I was thinking about the list and getting it all set up 27 seconds ago, I was going through and thinking about short songs, and I honestly could not come up with rap songs or country songs.
Yeah, usually because they're slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're slower paced.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, the text line found one at 2 minutes and 27 seconds with King George.
We really shouldn't be doing this, and we both know why.
Just I know why you shouldn't be doing it.
Think like this.
Hey, be nice.
Enough to make you need to lie. This kind of talk will lead us to somewhere. We're getting way too close to going there. The farther off, the better to
be. I'm pretty sure, as far as Rod is concerned, George Strait died in 1995.
Okay, I like George Strait. I don't like this song.
Then why you put it on? Okay, because you have to.
Yes, because the text line asks for a country song.
What is the name of that?
We really shouldn't be doing this
song.
You couldn't guess that?
Shouldn't be doing
Rod,
what?
You shouldn't be doing this.
Doing this.
What? Making this. Fun of the song?
No, this.
Look, it's not a good song, but it is what it is. What's the name of the song I'm going to put on this?
We really shouldn't be doing this is the name of the song, Rod.
Oh, okay. We like a whole who's on first thing.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. That's why I didn't want to belabor it, because it was painful for all of us.
It was payback.
For what?
For that last number two thing you drew.
Oh, that was hilarious. Everybody, see, my problem was with that is I was worried people were, you know, laughing so hard they probably missed the song.
Yeah, no, I don't think you had to worry about that.
All right, let's see. I keep going back and forth between more modern stuff and older stuff, so I'm going to keep doing that. Here is another band that we could have just populated the list with. We've already played one song by them today. Here's another one.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly,
I just realized something.
The man I used to be.
We have
a shadow hanging over.
So we have yesterday on the list, which is just Paul McCartney on an acoustic guitar. And we have Her Majesty on the list, which is just Paul McCartney and an acoustic guitar. So really, are these Beatles songs or are they just Paul McCartney and an acoustic guitar? I don't know. But that goes on the list yesterday at number 16. So we're going to keep it going for one more round. Rod, one more round. You have pick number
Rod.
17.
I'm sorry, there's somebody in here, so I'm talking to him and not listening to you.
Yeah,
We're telling Paul McCartney stories.
That's great. Number 17.
I'm sorry. I'll do better.
Okay, just play the song.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Long you and I were talking about this not long ago.
I'm going home. My baby has wrote me a letter.
That kid is 16 years old. Listen to that voice.
To be fair, though, he had been smoking since he was a fetus.
Well, and here's
like
the thing.
15 packs a day, just so he'd have that voice.
Evidently, I read an article. Evidently, he had this really tough, like, military-like father.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get caught smoking, so he had to eat the cigarettes.
Oh, my gosh.
So he'd smoke them down to the butts.
Are you kidding?
Were,
really?
They were non-filtered back then, you know?
Yeah.
So he's smoking like a Lucky Strikes non-filter. And it gets down so far where most of us would, you know, throw it out.
Right.
He had to eat them. That's why he sounded like that.
So not just lung cancer, no, but colon cancer.
I thought I knew he was making that up, but he sounded so sincere.
I totally made that up the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What is the name of that song? My Baby Wrote Me a Letter? Or the letter. Letter. The Letter. That's right. The Letter by The Box Tops.
The Box Tops.
The Letter goes on the list. All right, Rebecca?
All right. I got a classic here for you.
All righty. Good.
Comes in at 2 minutes and 29 seconds.
Wow. Just on the line.
Uh-huh.
Good. Respect by Aretha.
And yeah.
Goes on the list.
You know, even if that one went a little over, I would respect it and let it be on the list because that is.
It's Aretha.
Oh.
It's Aretha. All right. So for my last one, we're going to end on this. I have.
We're done. What number?
Well,
is this?
It's number 19. So we want to. If you want to do one more, that's
fine. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Number 19, and you're not going to give me one more?
I'm sorry. I'm debating which one to put on here because I keep going back and forth between classic rock and newer stuff, and I feel like we need to have this on the list at 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
That's pretty good. Okay, here's the thing. Where
you know what?
Here, what about this? Do we excuse me, I got excited there.
Yeah.
Do we have this on the list?
How long is this?
Sitting in the morning sun.
Oh, push
thinking
wrong
about button.
It's like,
well, apparently it's only 3 seconds long.
No, it's like 2 minutes. Like, or not 2 minutes. It's like 2:40. 2:40.
Oh,
is it that
long?
It's too long. Too long.
It is that long. I'm sorry. I misread that. I thought.
Okay.
It said
I will let you guys make the determination between which one I put on the list. This one. Which I love this song. And it was in every movie in the late 90s. At some point, somebody was sad, and then they played this song.
I listen to the wind,
It's a minute and 43 seconds.
That's so great, though.
It's a great song.
Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows.
Okay, that one, or going in the total opposite direction, a song that probably nobody's even heard in 10 years, but I love this song, coming in at a minute and 31 seconds.
Whatever.
That was actually on my list.
I went
list.
Down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. Then this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall, and this girl comes up, and she's all like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Because
this is my United States of whatever.
Liam Lynch. Which one goes on the list?
I like the first one.
I say Liam Lynch, but...
How about both of them go on the list?
Wait, I get one more pick. You
all right,
I get
fine.
One more pick.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not wrong about this. This song is 2 minutes... 8 seconds.
Okay.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Yeah, that needs to be on the list.
It's not warm when she's away.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Bill Withers.
Wonder this time when.
All right. There we go. We're going to take a break because now we have 21 and it's going to take me about a second to figure out how we vote on this.
Three more.
Three, maybe 24. Nah, we'll take a break and be back with the voting on what is the best short song of all time. You're back here at 7:20 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, I am too stupid to be able to figure this out. So basically, I'm going to say we need two more picks. Just give me two more picks.
Little Deuce Coupe and Tourette's by
Little Deuce.
Beach Boys and Nirvana.
Right. Little Deuce Coupe by Nirvana and Tourette's by the Beach Boys. Okay. Tourette's. There we go. All right, so that specific song, yes. Kurt sounded great.
This is my favorite Nirvana song.
Yeah, one of my favorites. I mean, listen to Dave's backbeat on that. So good. You're not going to play Tourette's,
are you? Of course, the Beach Boys, towards the end of their career.
What? Got a little experimental.
This is Kurt.
We're joking about this, but I really could see Brian Wilson writing this song.
Oh, yeah.
I was so confused for a minute there.
Hey! All right, it's time to vote on the best short song of all time. Here we go. We got White Riot by The Clash versus... We Really Shouldn't Be Doing This by George Strait.
I'm going to go ahead and say White Riot.
The Clash moves on. Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce versus The Letter by The Box Tops. Rod, you're not on the air, honey.
I was in my mind.
Yeah, but not in anybody else's.
I'm going to say The Letter.
The Letter moves on.
Okay.
Lump by President of the United States versus The Wind by Cat Stevens. Both my picks.
Both ways to describe flatulence.
Flatulence is a lump?
It could be.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't think it is. If that's
farts aren't lumpy?
No, they shouldn't be. That's pooping.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the lump.
I'm going to go with the lump as well.
Okay, that's fine. Blueberry Hill versus My United States of Whatever by Liam Lynch.
Damn you, I can't not vote for Blueberry Hill.
Rebecca.
As much as I love that other song.
Blueberry Hill.
You both wrong.
My
Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel versus Little Deuce Coupe.
Little Deuce Coupe.
Rebecca.
Yes, I'm going with Rod.
Mercedes-Benz versus Fortunate Son. Which is, that's funny.
Mercedes-Benz.
They're both the same thing.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Songs written by people who had a lot of money at the time about how they don't much have they the hate money. Rich people. Right.
Well, right. Anyways.
Mercedes-Benz versus Fortunate Son.
I'm going to have to say Mercedes-Benz.
I already said Mercedes-Benz.
You said Mercedes-Benz? Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Wow, look at me and Rebecca agreeing all
I
the
know,
time.
Guys are getting what creepy. Happened?
Like there's some kind of weird planet alignment.
Creepy.
And something bad's going to happen. Stay in the house tonight.
Highly Evolved by the Vines versus Tourette's by Nirvana. Got to go with Nirvana. For me.
I'm going to say The Hives.
Rebecca.
I'm with Rod again.
You are not with Rod.
Yes, I am.
All right.
She didn't like the Nirvana song. It frightened
her.
It did.
It frightened her.
It frightened me.
Pull back the curtain on our tiny little world.
We said it was Lump versus The Wind, right?
I don't know what that means.
And Lump won. Okay? I'm just making sure. Okay. All right, so the next round is White Riot by The Clash versus Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers.
Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh,
moves
my
on.
Gosh, Rod, guys, what's happening?
The next one, I'm just going to count down from three, and I want you to both to say your pick, and we'll just see how creepy this is.
We'll see how it goes.
Lump by President of the United States versus Fall in Love with a Girl by The White Stripes. Three, two, One.
Fell in love with a girl.
Okay.
You ruined it, Jonathan.
Sorry.
I think
he did it on purpose.
Mercedes-Benz by Janis versus Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis.
Oh, Mercedes-Benz. Heartbreak Hotel.
Heartbreak Hotel.
See, now we're back to the hillbilly and the hippie.
All right.
Wait, what am I? The...
You're the hillbilly.
No, I'm the hippie.
Wait, it was Mercedes-Benz versus Heartbreak and Heartbreak Move On? Okay.
Yeah.
Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino versus Her Majesty by the Beatles.
Blueberry Hill.
Blueberry Hill moves on.
I'm sorry. It's better than Her Majesty.
Highly Evolved by The Vines versus Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Immigrant Song.
I thought there was going to be a battle in this round. Turns out there's no contest there.
Yeah.
Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song. Song 2 by Blur versus Jack and Judy by The Ramones. Or Jackie and Judy, I mean. I'm going to go with Song 2. Woohoo song.
I'm going with Judy.
Oh, I'm going Song 2.
There we go. That moves on. Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers for best short song of all time. Ain't No Sunshine versus Fell in Love with a Girl.
Ain't No Sunshine.
Ain't No Sunshine.
Wow. All right. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis versus The Letter by The Box Tops.
The Letter.
I hate to say this, Rebecca, and you're going to be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me, but I'm going with The Letter.
Okay.
I just like it better. Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino versus The Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
I'm going to go with Thor, the Asgardian.
Immigrant Song. Moves on. Respect by Aretha versus What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
What a Wonderful World.
I'm going to go with Respect.
I think I just froze up. Like, my mind is literally that little loading wheel.
Best short song.
What are my choices again?
Respect versus What a Wonderful World.
Why is it that? Why is that the choice?
It's just the way it wound up. I'm sorry.
Respect.
Respect. Moves on. Song 2 by Blur versus Yesterday by the Beatles.
Yesterday.
I'm going to say song 2. Screw it. I love that song.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even care anymore.
I am insulted by you, sir.
Woohoo versus Yesterday. Rebecca.
I'm going to go song 2.
I mean, it's okay to be wrong.
You're
wrong.
Oh, my goodness. What just happened? All right.
There's actually a way for you to be more wrong, but I have no idea what it is.
All right. Good. Ain't No Sunshine versus The Letter for best short song of all time. Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers versus The Letter by The Box Tops.
I'm going to go with Bill Withers for the win, sir.
I'm going to go with you. Bill Withers moves on. Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin versus Respect by Aretha. Rebecca Crockett.
This is so tough. Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
You're saying Respect?
No, I'm saying Respect.
I'm going with Respect as well. Ludacris.
Remember the Eddie Murphy thing? We were talking about his drunk uncle, or I think it was his dad, actually. Drunk, singing. R-E-S-P-E-T. You know how to spell it.
Little Deuce Coop by the Beach Boys versus Song 2 by Blur, the Woohoo song.
I'm going to go Little Deuce Coop.
Going with Song 2.
Song 2.
That's right. Song 2 moves on.
Now you're just being jackasses.
Where It Goes Up Against, Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers versus Song 2 by Blur. That is...
Is that the final?
That's not the final. Oh. I would be playing the final music, wouldn't I?
I'm going to go with Ain't No Sunshine.
Rebecca? Come on.
Song 2.
I'm going to go with Ain't No Sunshine.
I'm also going to go with Ain't No Sunshine. I love Song 2, but it's not better than Ain't No Sunshine.
Okay.
So the final.
That could have cost a friendship.
Comes down to Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone by Bill Withers versus Respect by Aretha Franklin, which only got on the list at the very last minute for best short song.
This is a...
Rod Babcock.
Fantastic final duo.
It is.
I mean, two wonderful songs.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably two of the best songs. I'm going to have to go with Bill Withers.
I'm going to say Respect. Rebecca Crockett, I leave it up to you.
Ain't No Sunshine.
Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
This house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
Count them.
God.
I know.
It's amazing that it's a short song despite that bridge.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Anybody else, you would go, Connor hates that song. But when he does it, it's brilliant.
Oh, he can get chills when he does it.
Oh, it's great. You're like, man, that dude's sad.
That guy is really sad. He's just like in a psychotic fugue
no,
state.
No, he knows. Trust me, he knows.
Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, oh, man, we need to talk about this. One of my favorite stories that I've read in a very long time. A town in Ireland is irate because there's a pharmaceutical plant nearby that makes a certain kind of drug that has all the men very excited and all of the women very tired.
Was like in the water supply?
Worse.
Sweet. Worse.
Going to be talking about it in 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, so I rarely do this, but I'm going to read this story line by line.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's so funny. And honestly, I had to check several times to make sure it wasn't a parody. It's not from The Onion. It's really going to sound like it's a parody, but this is
okay.
100% true. It's verified. I looked it up in other news sources. This is a real story. It's from the irishpost.com. Headline: Irish villagers complain Viagra plant fumes have men and dogs walking around with the ons.
Wait, when you say men and dogs,
mm-hmm.
do you mean the actual canine creature or do you mean the men in the village as
and
well
the
as dogs? The dogs?
They don't say dogs, D-A-W-G-S, so I'm assuming they're talking about canines.
Wow.
Residents of a tiny village where Viagra is manufactured have complained that fumes from a nearby factory have been giving them, listen to this, because this writer was really going for the Pulitzer here.
Oh, God.
Have complained that fumes from a nearby factory have been giving them a hard time.
Did Dan Weinbaum write this?
It really seems like he would have. In that tongue-in-cheek Dan Weinbaum way.
I picture...
a hard time?
I picture a guy... picture a guy outside. It's a nice day out. He's sitting there and he's got a laptop open... literally sitting on his lap.
Mm.
He's eating a sandwich out of a brown wrapper, you know?
Yeah.
He's sitting there eating a sandwich, and all of a sudden he goes, "Pleh!" and he spits the food out. He goes, "Oh, I got it!" He throws the sandwich there and goes, "A hard time. Enter! Yes!"
Pharmaceutical firm Pfizer have produced the erectile dysfunction drug in Ringskiddy County Cork for the last few decades. Villagers claim that Ringskiddy's proximity to the plant and its love fumes have been giving local men and even their canine friends enormous sexual powers. Barmaid Debbie O'Grady told the Sunday Times, and this is where I literally stopped reading the article, laugh for like a minute,
and then check the source.
And then check the source and make sure this wasn't a parody or an April Fool's joke. Barmaid Debbie O'Grady told the Sunday Times, "One whiff and you're stiff. We've been getting the love fumes for years now for free."
Okay,
that's also,
okay,
by the way, something that Rod says after he eats Taco Bell. It's true.
That is true. That is true.
I mean, you're dead.
That sounds like
a different kind of stiff. Rigor uh-huh. mortis is the kind of stiff uh-huh. I'm talking about.
It sounds like the title of a film I once watched late at night in the basement, starring Debbie O'Grady, called One Whiff and You're Stiff. Anyways, I didn't know you could get the, like, basically what you're telling me is I can smoke Viagra.
Ms. O'Grady's mother, Sadie, said that living in Ringskiddy is a blessing for men who suffer for problems in that department, adding that there's something in the air. The widow added, "I'm a flirtatious woman. A lot of us are. You just have to have a spark. That's all. There's a lovely man waiting down the road for me. Pfizer said in a statement that the fumes were nothing more than an amusing myth. But, and again, this writer going for every award he could possibly get. But there were no hard feelings. Our manufacturers and the process in which they use have always been highly sophisticated as well as highly regulated. Nevertheless, residents remain scared stiff.
Okay, that one's good.
That something more sinister is going on. Psychiatric nurse Fiona Toomey recently returned to the village after 5 years in America, said that local dogs walk around in a state of sexual excitement. See, the men, it's bad enough that the men are walking around like this.
With this reporter.
let's see what we can convince this little.
Okay, remember the Sub Pop movie?
Uh-huh.
And they talked about silly music writers in the Midwest calling Seattle and asking Sub Pop, like calling the front desk and asking them questions, you know?
Yeah.
And they would just, she's the one girl saying, we would just make up stuff. It's like, yeah, we say, oh, that's truck. It's like, we would just make up
that's
stuff.
Just, they'd be
like,
yeah, oh, bad,
and
yeah.
You'd see it in a magazine. Like, oh my God, they printed that. I think that's what these people were doing.
Maybe.
Like, ooh, tell them the dogs too. Yeah.
I think that Viagra must have gotten into the water supply, she said. I'm convinced that what happened at the very beginning, that's what happened at the very beginning before they were so closely regulated. And that's the entire story. Now, here's the question. This is real, and these people really are claiming this, unless it's just an elaborate prank that they have played on many journalists over the years. Here's my question.
Is
this real, or is it just a placebo?
Did this raise tourism?
That was actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. You know, that was pretty that was pretty solid.
It was a rock hard delivery too.
Okay. I have a serious question with this story.
Okay, what's that?
If this is really either in the water source or in the air and people are basically snorting Viagra,
mm-hmm.
everybody is affected by this.
Right.
What about birth defects?
Like,
are there rates higher now?
Are there birth defects from Viagra?
Well, I don't know any women who have taken Viagra.
Could you be born at attention and just stay that way? Because that sounds cool for like a minute, but that would be awful.
I'm just like, hold on, I can't get a good. Oh wait, now I got him.
I mean, it would be funny sometimes, but it would be awful.
You know, it's really easy to circumcise these kids now.
Oh, my gosh.
And actually, in some cases, not necessary.
No.
Isn't there a time limit to how long this should be going on?
We can talk about this?
No.
Because we will not hit that for a while. My question is this a placebo? Do the people just hear that there's a Pfizer plant making Viagra nearby, and so they go, oh, I bet. Or is it real? Because Pfizer claims, no, obviously we're not polluting the water supply. And if they legitimately were, these people would obviously have a lawsuit against Pfizer for doing that. So I think it's just a placebo. They see that there might be Viagra being made and it just gets into their head that maybe it's in the water, maybe it's in the air.
The text line says they have a bone to pick with this story.
Nice. And as far as birth rates, aren't the Irish birth rates kind of high?
They're pretty good in general, yeah. Do they? If anybody
I never heard there was a lack of that.
If anybody needs Viagra, it's not the Irish. As far as I know.
But
think of how horrible this must be for the women too, but just think of this from a guy's perspective. If this was real, and it was really was, the town was being coated with these Viagra fumes.
I don't know. I didn't know.
You would just have one of those out of nowhere for no reason.
You were 14?
Yeah, right, it'd be like junior high all over again.
It would go from ha 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 to depending on where you're at.
What's the matter? Well, here's the problem. I'm late for work, but I can't get out of the car and walk across the parking lot right now.
Well, that's why they're all wearing kilts.
Hey, Glenn?
No, that would be worse.
Glenn, we're at Nana's funeral. Maybe, just maybe,
ooh,
you want to go adjust yourself. There's probably guys walking around the city like, I have to wear a gas mask because last time I went to the bank, they called the cops on me and maced me.
No, no, I'm not happy to see you, but no, it's not a gun in my pocket.
It is a gun. You know what? It is a gun. It's a gun. Give me all the money you got so I can get out of this freaking town. There were words I really wanted to say there that I...
The text line is advising we not talk about this for more than 4 hours.
All right, on that one.
That's probably...
Somebody just messaged me on Twitter, and this isn't a joke. I wish it was another pun, but it is not. As a chemist, there's no way Viagra's in the air. It is a large aromatic molecule which would not be volatile, especially in the concentrations needed in the atmosphere for therapeutic effect. Okay, I understand half of those words.
Huh? Yeah. Words,
you know what? I always love it when people remind me that smart people listen to the show.
Jonathan Weir Show.
And make me go, why would you do that? I mean, you sound smarter than everybody else anyway. Do you need to listen to the show to feel better about yourself? Whew. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, yesterday we were celebrating that the government actually did their job and shut down 4 big robocallers, right? Kind of. But you will be less impressed when you find out how much money in fines the FCC has collected from those people who are calling your cell phone over and over again trying to get money from you. Let me just put it this way. I actually earn in a month what they have collected from these people. Talk about that in 5 minutes at 7:51 here in 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, so... robo-dialing, robo-calling, you know, all of the spoof numbers and everything, we all get these calls every day. The average person gets 6 calls a day.
I was with somebody just the other day that someone called them, was like, you need to stop calling me.
Yeah. Don't answer the phone.
And that person, I forget who it was, but they were like, that's a robocaller thing. I'm not calling you. Like, well, you need to leave. Stop calling us.
Oh, really? They called him?
Yeah, like the person, you know what I mean? Like, your number would pop up.
I never thought about that aspect of it.
And the person was like, I'm going to call him back. And then your phone rings. You're like, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm fortunate. I always know when it's a robocaller because if they're calling me and the area code is 618, which is my area code in Illinois, I'm still on, I'm on the share plan with my family. Right? So I still have a 618 number. So if I see that it's a 618 number calling, I'm like, okay, obviously it's a spoof number. If you live here and you see 913 and 816, you might be tempted to pick it up because, you know, maybe it's the electric company calling.
Yeah,
telling you your bill's late, your power's going to get shut off.
Crap, is that the kid's school? Is that,
So yesterday we found out that the FTC has shut down 4 of the major robocallers, but the FCC...
What's the FTC?
Federal Trade Commission.
Oh, okay.
The FCC is having a little bit of trouble doing their job and shutting them down and collecting fines. Since 2015, they have demanded that these robo-dialers pay $208 million. So far, the government has collected $6,000 from the robo-dialers. $6,000, and they've said you need to pay $208.
How much? They're supposed to get to $208.
Yeah, so I guess maybe eventually.
So it's $208 million, and they're right now.
Yep.
Like if you got the red marker and you're filling in the bottom of the thermometer, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got maybe enough for like a dot.
So you go across the bottom there, right?
I don't think you can make it all the way across. I think you maybe.
You just touch the paper.
Yeah, you touch the paper.
Just touch the paper.
Yeah, just get a little dot. Hey, here's an idea, federal government. If you want money from these people, how about you call them and threaten to be you and say that you are filing a lawsuit against them? Because that's what almost all of these are, is, hey, this is Bill with the IRS, and we're going to sue you unless you pay me $300 right now or give me an iTunes gift card. Have you gotten that one? I haven't gotten that one personally, but that's a big one. It's like, unless you give us an iTunes gift card for $300, which we also accept. Seriously. How about you just harass them until they pay you? Apparently that works.
This is the police. There's a warrant out for your arrest. You can pay $250 to make this go away. Just meet me behind the GameStop on Main Street.
Here's what I don't understand.
Preferably small bills. The dude behind the counter doesn't like it when I have 50s.
Here's what I don't like and what I don't understand. How come a couple of years ago I had my wages garnished because I owed $5,000 in student loans that I just went, what do they care? It's $5,000. They're not going to come after me for $5,000 in student. And they did. Yeah.
Sir, you owe us $5,000.
They started garnishing my wages. How come they can come after me for $5,000 I owe for student loans? And yet these monsters who are terrorizing people and scamming people and at best simply annoying the hell out of the rest of us manage to get away when they owe $208 million.
Is it one of those things where you, Jonathan Weir, owe this money? To collect from you, they come to you.
Mm-hmm.
For these people, it's... Well, you have to contact the parent company, which is this place in Detroit.
Could be.
And then actually, that is a satellite office for the real corporation, which is in the Caymans.
Right. And that's probably, I'm sure there's
like
some
that.
Chicanery going on.
It's got to be.
Just still seems like if the government has the ability to come after people for student loans, then they have the ability to go to the Caymans and deal with this or deal with it. Here's the best way to do it. Here's the best way. Instead of finding these people, instead of going after these people, go after the telecom companies. Go after AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, Cricket, all of them, and say, anytime one of these robocallers gets through to people, you need to make your network more secure, because if you don't and one more of these people get through, you get $1 million fine every time one of these gets through.
Now
it would be shut down immediately.
No, what you do, no, that's not, you don't do it like that because that's unjust and unfair.
Oh, sure.
What you do is you look at the big telecommunications companies and you go, here's the thing. If somebody reports to us three times that they've gotten a robocall, their next month is free.
Yeah, that's good.
You start doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And let
fine,
it be
fine.
Known.
Meet me halfway on that. Sure. $1 million fine might be a little much.
And that way, they will kill themselves to stop that.
Stop it. Because they could. They really could. But they don't care. And I know that there are people who, well, my plan, it lets me, AT&T or Verizon or whoever, filters them out for me. Okay. Why are you...
Most of them.
Trusting that, and also there's people who pay extra for that. Maybe that's why they're not getting shut down as much. Anyway, Rebecca Crockett, what's coming up on the Celebrity Rocket?
Nicolas Cage is getting a divorce. Why is that interesting? Well, he only got married 4 days ago. What is going on? I will tell you all about it at 8:04.
Yes, Jonathan Weir Show. One more hour this week of the Jonathan Weir Show. Coming up, we're going to have Max on Movies. He'll be here to review Dumbo. I don't want to see this movie.
I do.
You do?
It's freaky deaky looking.
It's weird looking.
And the story's different.
And the story's different. And also, I don't want to see it because it just looks like a movie that's trying, much like the reason I don't like Forrest Gump, it's a movie that's trying to make you cry every 10 minutes.
Well,
and
I guess hate those the way kind of I understand movies.
Hate them.
In this version, Dumbo goes to the moon like he did in the book.
Oh, really?
So that's a lot different.
Yeah.
No,
I also hear that he ends up going through the slaughterhouse.
Why are you guys talking about Dumbo like this?
So the point is,
he gets killed.
Stop.
For his tusks.
No.
At the end.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
His tusks aren't important.
Well, if you go by the original book, it's a very dark book.
Yeah. Then you've heard of elephant ears, right?
He has
right?
a girlfriend who's like a total whore, like ran all over the country.
Elephant ears and like leaves?
Came back and gave him AIDS. So anyway,
that's the panda shoots and leaves. We're like talking about three different things
this
here.
Whole Disney fascination with redoing the classic cartoons and taking all the animated movies and turning them into live action, and I don't like it.
I don't have a problem with it.
The Jungle Book was okay.
I thought The Jungle Book was good, yeah.
But I don't like it. I don't. Now it's they're literally going through the list.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're doing the Lion King. I think yeah, exactly. Is that later this year? I think is coming out. I don't know.
I don't
care. All right, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about celebrities because it's time to take a ride on Rebecca Crockett's Celebrity Rocket.
So this is gossip.
Looks pretty good.
Let's start.
Hey, Rebecca, what's up?
All right, Matt LeBlanc.
I know that name.
He's the guy from Joey. Friends.
He was Joey on
Friends.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was on Conan last week, and he had a really interesting story about Sharon Osbourne.
I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, apparently she invited him for a very special get-together with her and Ozzy. A very special get-together with just the three of them.
And he could not menage that.
This was back in 2012.
Menage that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. That's actually pretty good.
Pretty good, right? Yeah. First of all, when I was watching this on Conan, and I thought, okay, well, it was when he was on Friends, and he was like, it was like 6 years ago. Uh-huh.
He needed to age a little bit.
I guess. I just thought, like, she couldn't resist herself. But no, this was, I guess, technically 7 years or 6.5 years ago when this happened. And, like, what the hell?
Yeah. He was hoping she was just kidding. But Sharon was talking about it on The Talk, which is her show.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, maybe I was kidding and maybe I wasn't kidding. You know, I was like, ish, kidding. So basically she was like, well, I mean, if he wanted to, I wasn't kidding. If he didn't, I'm totally kidding.
So she floated out there like a trial balloon, basically. And he swatted it down.
Invitation's still open.
Kidding, not kidding. No, like, seriously, I have them. If you're interested, I have the whips and chains in the back. I have them.
Emily Blunt and John Krasinski, yes. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, sure. Sharon and Ozzy, no.
Oh, come on.
No.
I just
shivers. No.
All right, let's talk about Nicolas Cage.
That would be called Ozzie the devil's disaster.
Ozzy and Harriet as they are now. Because at least it would just be me with a bunch of bones. I'm sorry, yes, Nick Cage got divorced.
Yeah, okay, let's put a better image in our minds. Nicolas Cage. Not really, that doesn't put a better
image in my mind.
No. Yeah. Okay, so he got married 4 days ago. And now he's getting divorced.
I actually saw this a couple of days ago. He was in Vegas, and he had he was in the middle of the courthouse there, and he was yelling at his girlfriend and towards other people. She has a drug dealer boyfriend.
Yeah, he was a little drunk.
Yes, and she's like, "No, I don't." Blah 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 blah. And he's like, you're forcing me into this! And she's like, no, I didn't. I asked you politely to come down here. And then they went off and got married.
Yeah. She still wanted to marry him.
Uh-huh.
And he still wanted to marry her. He was referring to her ex-boyfriend, by the way. Her drug dealer boyfriend.
Did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. So they got married. They went through with it. And then now Nick has filed for an annulment. He's been married like 3 times already.
Has he really?
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is the weirdest human being.
He's not attractive
in
any way.
Even, well, I don't care about that, but I'm just he is the strangest human being on the planet. Do you remember for that very brief period in like the middle 90s when everyone was like, this Nicolas Cage guy is like the next big thing? He is such a great actor.
You have the amount of talent and the amount of just raw awesomeness that Nicolas Cage possesses, it makes you crazy. It's been proven time and time again.
Sure.
So yeah, I understand.
But
sometimes he gets out of line. But The man is a genius.
Really?
Yeah, he's up
where is he a genius?
Wait, are we talking about Nicolas Cage still?
In what movies is he a genius?
He's a genius. Okay. That just continues to get more roles somehow.
Okay, that's what he's a genius. Not at acting. He's just a genius.
Why is he still a thing making all that money?
He was great in Raising Arizona. He was
really
great
in
Leaving Las Vegas and Honeymoon in Vegas. And it's just funny. Now he's got Divorce in Vegas, huh? Anyway, I guess his trick is if he's in a movie and there's a geographical location in it, it might be a good movie. But everything else he's been in, Matchstick Men was good. That was a good movie.
But was National Treasure. That was his movie, right? That's when he stole the Declaration
this
of Independence.
This man was in Face Off.
Face Off is terrible. It's fun.
Face Off is a great movie.
Okay, nobody's ever heard of this movie, but I've watched it, and everybody...
Have you not seen Con Air, my friend?
Con Air is also terrible, but also fun. There's one that beats all of them. It's so bad, and you watch it, and you cannot believe that they got away with making this. There's this movie called Deadfall with Nicolas Cage. Who's all in this? Hold on. Michael Biehn, Nicolas Cage, James Coburn, Peter Fonda, Charlie Sheen are all in this movie. Mickey Dolenz is in the movie for some reason. And Nicolas Cage plays this cokehead gangster guy who just walks into a scene and just starts screaming erratically. Like, his lines are supposed to be delivered in a human fashion. But Nicolas Cage decided, no, I'm going to play this role like I'm a rat with my tail caught in a trap. And he would walk into every scene and just go, oh, man, this is crazy, man. Oh, wow, dude.
I think I've seen that. Here's the thing. When you ask somebody who's coked out of their mind to go play someone who's coked out of their mind, it causes
I got to do more coke.
Yeah.
To get into character.
It's like a weird thing going on.
Yeah.
And he always looks like you're looking at him in a doorknob.
That is genius.
That is. Wow, because his face, his features all just kind of group together at the front.
Did you see the Nicolas Cage Ross from Friends thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, you got to Google it. Somebody took a picture of a scene out of
Friends. I have seen this, yeah.
Friends,
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And they put Nicolas Cage's face over everybody else's face. And Ross doesn't look different.
No, he looks exactly. And
you should look it up. It's creepy.
I've seen
how it doesn't look. I'm not saying you personally, John. I'm saying the royal you.
That's me again. I'm royal.
Anyone else who might be
number one
hearing me.
Okay, there's Nielsen a really rated. Sweet story I want to talk about before we end.
Okay.
Okay, Toy Story.
Yes.
Don Rickles, if you don't know who that is, he played Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
But he's dead.
Hmm.
And there's a new Toy Story coming out.
Right. So, and I've seen Mr. Potato Head in it. So they just get somebody, sometimes they do this and they just get somebody to do the voice.
Yeah. They didn't do that because nobody else could do this voice.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Have 25 years.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Of his voice work that they were able to use. Like, and it's not like repeat stuff. It's all the leftover stuff that they haven't
used
yet.
That they didn't use. And I mean, it'd be great if every time they went to him, though, it was like from the roast.
The Dean Martin roast.
The Dean Martin roast, because he was always doing the Dean Martin roast.
Yeah.
So it's like Woody says something, then Buzz says something, then it goes to Mr. Potato Head, and he's like, yeah, hockey puck! That's right! Like, where's all this applause coming from, and why does this sound so bad?
We piece together audio for this. He's like saying just awful, awful things.
Yeah, I can tell
he's Polish,
Jewish.
You know. Let me tell you about the Polacks.
All right. Coming up.
Because you know that was Rickles.
Yeah, yeah. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show in just 5 minutes, we're going to have Max on Movies here to review Dumbo. And Max, actually, I said I didn't want to watch this movie because it's an emotional tearjerker. Max actually has a better reason not to watch it. And you'll find that out at 8:20 here on 98.1.
Danger's my middle name.
I know little kids.
You said
I know little kids.
I am human. It's alive.
The stuff that dreams are made of.
It's
the picture that got small.
Max on Movies.
It is the Jonathan Weir Show, and every single week at this time, we talk to film critic extraordinaire Max Foyzy. He's got his own show live on the Big 550 KTRS. You can listen to that every Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Of course, if you're not in St. Louis to listen to it live, as I understand most of you probably are not, then you can go to SoundCloud, just search for Max on Movies, and the podcast pops right up. Or just Google Max on Movies SoundCloud, and it pops up that way, too. Max, you always have really good guests on your show. Who's your guest this week?
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, John. I try to have really good guests on my show every single week. And this week we have film score composer Michael Abels. This might not be a household name yet, but I think he's on his way to becoming one because he's worked with Jordan Peele on both of his giant successful movies, Get Out and Us. And it's funny because after Steven Spielberg saw Get Out, one of the things he said to Jordan Peele is, "Who did your music?" And Jordan Peele's like, "Oh, it's this guy who's done basically corporate stuff. He worked on hotels, you know, entrance music. He worked for aquariums. So that kind of ethereal stuff." And he heard one of his songs he did for this aquarium and thought it sounded great and brought him in. He had never worked in film before. And Spielberg said, "You have to keep him. This could be like me and John Williams."
Wow.
So I asked Michael Abels about that, and he got real solemn for a minute and just said, "Thank you, Mr. Spielberg, and there's no higher compliment that a film score composer can be paid, of course."
Right. It's a bit like being compared to the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. That's like saying, "Hey, George Martin, you should work with Ringo some more." I mean, it's basically there's no higher compliment. So that's my guest this week, and we talk about how the score for Us is very different, much more animalistic and direct than the score for Get Out, which was much more of a gothic kind of score. So he was a fantastic guy, real nice, and he will be that.
All right, let's talk about movies that are out this week. We have Dumbo, which I will tell you, just from looking at the trailers, I immediately looked at everyone in my family in unison and went, No, I'm not going to see this because it honestly looks like a movie that is trying every second to make me cry. And I don't want to go see a movie like that.
Well, I can tell you, I had some trepidation about that as well. And I can tell you it is not the cry fest that you're worried it's going to be. Now, the original Dumbo is, and that's why you're worried about that, because that original 1940s animated Dumbo is the shortest of all the Disney animated classics. It's only about an hour long. And in that hour, we see a child ripped from their mother. We see that child get drunk and hallucinate pink elephants. We see circus folk mistreating that child. And then he sort of has this amazing realization that he can fly, and he flies away at the end. It is a messed up movie that we all watched when we were kids, John Weir.
Yeah. No, I think that was the connection of it is, hey, he's a freak, and let's make fun of him because he's a freak. Oh, wait, he's valuable to us, so now we like him. It's the Rudolph story all over again.
It is. And so that movie definitely has its charms. Of course, it is an all-time classic. The song Baby Mine has gone on to become a cult classic in its own way. When I saw the Smashing Pumpkins one of two times last year on their big tour, they closed with Baby Mine. Billy Corgan just came out and played the ukulele. I don't know why, because he's Billy Corgan, I guess. But in this movie, it's not the Pumpkins doing it. It's Arcade Fire who do it during the end credits. Now, on paper, I really thought I was going to enjoy this movie, and I'll let the elephant out of the bag now and say that I didn't. And I'm not recommending this film, and I don't think it's very good. But I will preface that by saying I have enjoyed most of the Disney live-action remakes. I thought Jon Favreau's Jungle Book was great. I'm looking forward to his Lion King coming up. I think Will Smith as a Blue Genie is pretty inspired. I thought the Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast was better than the animated version. I thought they filled in a lot of story gaps there and made her have a little less Stockholm Syndrome. And so I like these movies. And people forget Disney's success track record with these goes way back before Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, which is heralded as the first of the new live-action remakes, which includes Angelina Jolie as Maleficent, which is getting a sequel this year. But actually started back in the 90s with Glenn Close in 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, yeah, of course. I totally forgot about that.
Most audience members have, although it was a huge success. It was so big it even spawned a sequel. And they're going to do a prequel, not even a reboot, to those movies with Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil. So Disney happened upon this amazing idea. First of all, Walt Disney had his first amazing idea, which is let's take public domain ideas like French, fairy tales and Brothers Grimm fairy tales and write our own songs and copyright it. And that's what he did. And so 50 years later, when Disney decides to do a live-action Cinderella with Kenneth Branagh and Lily James, it's not a retelling of the French fairy tale. It's a retelling of their own version of that. And that is just a license to print money. So my hat's off to this corporation who found an ingenious way to kind of co-opt entertainment for themselves. I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, it's on one hand, you appreciate that they took a story and told it in their own way and made it their own. But on the other hand, you have to realize it's also Walt Disney going, how do I make a movie for as little money as possible, though I'm Walt freaking Disney?
Oh, no. I say that it's incredible with all of the cynicism in my capitalist heart because this is really a giant empire of a company, a world changer, if you will, who now has found a way to kind of eat its own tail as a snake. And I just think that's, people could write a book about what they've done with these live-action remakes. But another reason why I thought I was going to enjoy this is because I like Tim Burton. I might be the last person on planet Earth who likes Tim Burton. Has he made bad movies? Yes, of course. Has he made awful movies that I would never watch again? Yes, of course. But in his 20-year film career, he's made way more successful films in my estimation. And I don't like the criticism that he's all visuals because we're talking about a filmmaker here. And visuals, which encapsulate more than just cinematography. It has to do with costume design. It has to do with the actors he cast. The film is a visual medium, so I'm fine with all of that stuff. When you talk about a film score composer that works well with a director, Danny Elfman is back.
Yeah.
The score here, and Colleen Atwood does the costumes. He's got familiar actors like Eva Green, Danny DeVito. Michael Keaton comes back in this movie. And it's the first time you've got Tim Burton directing DeVito and Keaton together since 1992.
So, wow, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's a Batman Returns remake or
reunion.
Yeah, reunion is the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited about this movie. I thought, well, circus freaks and depressing outcasts, that sounds like Tim Burton, give it to me. Well, there's two things that make this a movie I cannot recommend. Two decisions right away. Number one, the original film's an hour long. This one is double that length. So that means you have to invent a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't in that original tale. And what screenwriter Aaron Kruger decides to do is he decides to make the decision early on, before he ever starts writing anything down, that the animals in this film are not going to talk. Now, let's think about this. You got the Jungle Book live-action remake. All the animals talk. You got Bagheera. You got Shere Khan. Idris Elba. You got Bill Murray as Baloo the Bear. In Beauty and the Beast, all the enchanted artifacts like Cogsworth and the Candelabra, they all talk, right?
Yeah.
How are you going to do Dumbo where you don't have Timothy Mouse talking? You don't have the crows even present. And I know that people thought they were a stereotype, but I'm just saying, you just took them completely out. And the reason why that doesn't work, John, is because when you have a movie that's double the length and the animals don't talk, that means you have to focus on the humans. And there's not a single person who's going to pay $10 this weekend to go see Dumbo who really cares about Colin Farrell's kids. It's just, right. You're not going to care about a giant chase scene at the end involving Michael Keaton and Eva Green. That's not why you're seeing this movie. You're seeing it for a flying elephant.
I was trying to think, does Dumbo, because Ben, since I was a little kid that I've seen it, but does Dumbo talk in the original movie?
Dumbo himself does not talk, but all the animals around Dumbo.
That's why he's Dumbo, I guess.
Right. The major emotional moment of that film is when Mama Jumbo is being ripped away from her young son, and she sings Baby Mine to him, which is what's been imprinted on all of our hearts since then. Well, here, because Mama Jumbo doesn't talk, when the separation happens, you have a random circus freak on the ukulele singing the song to the audience. Well, that doesn't mean anything. This is a song from the mother to the child. And when you take that away emotionally, Dumbo doesn't work. It puts the emphasis...
If you'd have told me that Tim Burton would be directing a Disney movie where
you know, in the past, it involved a bunch of talking animals, and Tim Burton went, oh yeah, we're not going to have the animals talk in this one. I know he's filing a screenplay, but you know, he's still the director. I would have said that doesn't, he wouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Why would Tim Burton, whose whole mystique is one of grandeur and hyper-realism and you know, getting into the sinews and fabric of reality and exploding it out, he of course would have talking animals, or would find a better way around it. Maybe the animals think at each other. Maybe elephants are actually telepathic, like people say they are. I can't believe the animals don't talk.
You know, it's something where, you know, screenwriters and people who write novels, they always talk about breaking the story. And that's where, when you have an idea for a story, you have to break that story first. And that means getting an angle on how you're going to tell the story. And so Aaron Kruger, when they tasked him with writing Dumbo, and he's written a lot of successful scripts. There was an underrated horror film with Kate Hudson called Skeleton Key that he wrote that I thought was really great. Yeah. He wrote Scream 3, which is not all that great, but you know, whatever. But his idea to break this story was, let's focus on the humans. And I don't see how that worked. And you know what? It doesn't work. Because, again, you don't care about Michael Keaton being the sort of Walt Disney-ish stand-in who wants to take Dumbo for himself. And that is an interesting thing. Keaton is playing a Disney-ish kind of character who wants to co-opt the carnival for himself and for his big Dreamland carnival attraction. Now, that's amazing that Aaron Kruger and Tim Burton were able to do something so subversive as to make fun of Walt Disney in a Walt Disney production. But does that belong in Dumbo?
All right, well, I already didn't want to see it because I thought it was going to make me cry and it would be too emotionally compelling. But apparently there are better reasons not to go see Dumbo. Coming up with Max on Movies, we will talk about what you can watch on streaming and DVD at home tonight.
Jonathan Weir Show.
And we're back with Max on Movies. Max, what can people check out to watch at home tonight, streaming or DVD?
You know, I love weekends like this, John, because we have two very different movies. We have a blockbuster movie and an underseen art house picture. And I love when these are juxtaposed with one another, because the two movies that I'm going to talk about are movies that I gave positive reviews to both of them, although they both have a lot of flaws. But I like both of them, and I think for rentals, it'd be a great double feature. And I know that some people in your audience say, well, I don't like that kind of movie. But you know what? It's random. Come on. You only live once. The first one is a giant DC blockbuster called Aquaman. It was the biggest money-making DC picture, although Shazam comes out next week, and I think it might give it a run for its money. You got Jason Momoa as Arthur Curry. He's a guy who can talk to fish. And it's a fun comic book movie, and you haven't been able to say that about a lot of the DC movies. So I like this movie. If you know, you already know if you want to see Aquaman. If you want to see Ivan Drago and Jesus Christ underwater riding giant seahorses, that's what you'll get in this movie, because you've got Dolph Lundgren and Willem Dafoe as your co-stars. The other one, the art house movie, is called Stan and Ollie. And for the younger people listening, it's about Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy, who were a comedy troupe from before the talkie era of film. They were on the vaudeville stages. They also made a lot of short subjects that were hugely successful. This one has John C. Reilly, who is amazing as Oliver Hardy, and doing sort of the harder work of the two of them, Steve Coogan, who's kind of unknown in America, but he plays Stan Laurel, and he's very good as well. This one has some flaws. It doesn't talk enough about who they were as people. It leans more on them just recreating the routines, but that's still a fun night at the movie. So I recommend both of these movies. I like Aquaman and Stan and Ollie.
Can I just say, I watched Aquaman earlier this week, I guess it was. I did not like it. I was expecting it to be maybe more fun, and maybe it's tainted by the fact that I have not seen the more recent DC movies, so maybe it seems a lot more fun compared to Justice League and Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad. I have not seen those movies. Having said that, I thought it looked really bad. Like, I maybe it was just me, but I thought the green screen effects just looked terrible. It looked like, you remember the game Myst for the PC back in the 90s. To me, it looked like that when they were standing on the boardwalk every time. I honestly expected him to hand him a piece of paper with a bunch of cryptographs on it that he had to figure out. I don't know. I did not like the movie.
This is a personal question to ask about your television orientation, Mr. John Weir. Mm-hmm. But you don't happen to have smooth motion on your TV, do you?
I don't think so. I don't have. Is that something you have on like high end televisions?
When you buy a HDTV, unfortunately, it's the it is the default setting, and you have to go into picture setting and turn that off. And I do this as a public service. I try to tell everybody that I know to turn that off, because what it does is it makes everything shot on film look like it was shot on video. And even if people are listening don't know what that means, it's going to give you the soap opera effect. And movies.
It's basically. Like when you go into a store, a Costco or Walmart, and you're watching the display, you're like, God, this movie looks like crap. It's because of
smooth motion.
Yeah, I just
want to make sure that you have that turned off because Aquaman and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, they would all look awful if you had that turned on.
I don't know if it's turned on, but I will say Aquaman is the first movie that I've really noticed that having that effect on me, where I was like, God, the graphics just look terrible. And I don't know, I wanted to like it because I love Jason Momoa, and I loved Wonder Woman. I thought that was great, so I was like, okay, you know, maybe they can kind of do what Marvel did and get started by going with these underused characters and using people that have not been huge in the DC universe, and by that I mean anybody but Superman and Batman. I'm really looking forward to Shazam. Henry and I are going to go see that when that comes out. Having said, I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Well, I hope you enjoy Shazam. I have not seen it yet. I'm seeing it on Monday, April Fool's Day. And so I guess if I don't like it, the joke's on me.
All right. Oh, and will we talk about that next week?
Yes. Well, we have a trio of films next week. So block out a whole hour for me. We've got Best of Enemies with Sam Rockwell and Taraji P. Henson. We've got Shazam with Zachary Levi and Mark Strong. And we've got Pet Cemetery, which is a place I don't want to be buried.
Quoting the Ramones. Awesome. All right. We will be talking about that at 8:20 next week on the Jonathan Weir Show. Max Foyzy, you can catch his show on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis, 9 to 11 tomorrow night. Of course, if you're not in St. Louis to catch it live, then you can just listen to the podcast. And Max, have you posted? You usually post some stuff before the show even airs, right?
I usually do, but this week I'm super busy, so it'll probably be up on Sunday morning.
Well, look at me. Put my foot in my mouth.
That's
no
okay.
Reason. Well, you can just Google Max on Movies SoundCloud, and his SoundCloud page will show up, or the SoundCloud page for KTRS will show up. You follow him online, go on Twitter and search for at Max on Movies on Twitter. Max, as always, thanks so much.
John, it was fun.
Woo! Well, bam!
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right. We are just a few minutes away from Rod Babcock's punishment.
I don't like this punishment. I don't think it's fair.
Never think they're fair. Even when you do lose fair and square.
Okay, the last few times I've had bad punishments, they were crap. They were times I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm. One of those was gift rod.
Yeah, one of them was a gift, jerk.
Well, that was a beautiful thing, but mm-hmm. It touched me and that pissed me off. So here's the thing. I know that I'm a terrible employee and I'm never always here.
That's true for everybody. Nobody's never always.
Always never?
Yeah. It's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Lately, yeah, yeah. But it doesn't matter. It's still getting punished. But before
That's fine.
Let's play a game. You know, we have a game on the show that we play every once in a while called Florida, Australia, or Russia. Going to play a bit of a variation on that, and this game is called Scrabble. Or Australia. And the way this works is I will give you a word and you have to guess whether it is an Australian phrase or saying, or just a bunch of words mixed together. Or a bunch of letters, I guess, or maybe they're a real word that would only come up in Scrabble. Okay?
Okay.
Ready? Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
Is numbat a word?
Numbat is a word.
Is it Australian or Scrabble, I mean?
It is Australian.
Australian. Oh, I can't need to type. Why? There we go. You were wrong.
No, I'm correct.
It is
It is a real word. It is a small marsupial with a black and white striped black and bushy tail. Has nothing to do with Australia.
In Australia.
Nope, nothing to do with it. Rod.
Yes.
Meckering. Is that... Do you want me to use it in a sentence? Because I don't know the answers either, but me using it in a sentence actually is pretty funny.
Okay.
All right. Meckering. Hey. All right, hold on. I need to get into Australian. G'day, mate. You, meckering about, are you? Huh? With that tadpole? I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing or not.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's probably Australian, meckering about.
It that was is really convincing.
Actually a town in Western Australia.
Meckering, Australia.
Australia, yep.
But you used it wrong in a sentence.
What? Yeah, I didn't. I said I didn't know the answer to this either.
So why would it help if you used it in a sentence?
I don't know.
No, is he just funny? Made up a sentence. The sentence had nothing to do with the word. He was guessing.
Back up!
Yes.
Is Burpengary...
Burpengary.
Is Burpengary... I'm sorry, all these are towns in Australia or Scrabble words. So is Burpengary just some crazy Scrabble word, or is it a town in Australia?
It is a town in Australia.
It is. It's in Queensland. Rod Babcock.
Burpengary is a guy that used to buy us beer before we turned 21.
Yeah, Burpengary. Oh, man. He'd
stand outside the Mr. M's.
Yeah.
He'd come around.
And he would just want, you know, to have a picture of your girlfriend, and then he would do
it.
It didn't have to be a naughty picture. It was just like her yearbook photo or something, but that's what got Burpengary off. Rod.
He get his 40s.
Canumbra. Canumbra. Oh, Canumbra.
So it's a town called Canumbra.
Canumbra. Is it an Australian town, or is it a Scrabble word?
I think it's slang, because I think it's like, I need somebody to take me to the store. Canumbra?
Canumbra? So you think it's a real word, not a town in Australia?
I'm assuming it's a town in Australia.
You're correct. Okay, I can't say this next one on air, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
All right, Rebecca, Quahog. Is that a Scrabble word, or is it a town in Australia?
That is a Scrabble word, Jonathan.
Okay. I will
say that you're correct. It is a town in Rhode Island.
It is also a town in Rhode Island. I will give you double points if you can guess what that word means.
Could you please repeat the word?
Quahog. What is a quahog? I'll tell you it's a noun.
A quahog is another hog that you pair up with first hog.
That's good. I did not see that coming.
It's actually a large, rounded, edible clam of the Atlantic coast, but you get two extra points just because that was freaking clever.
Did not see that coming.
All right. Rod.
Yes.
Is this a place in Australia, or is it just some crazy word that you might use in Scrabble? Takamakahack. Takamahack. That's it. Takamahack. Okay, Takamahack.
Actually, I believe that is a term first coined in the days of hacky sack. It is a trick hack where you go solo for 10 minutes, only using your left foot.
If somebody passes you the hacky sack, take him a hack.
Yeah,
yeah.
and you got to go solo for 10 minutes. Only using left foot.
All right. So it's a Scrabble word,
It's a town in Australia. It's got to be.
It's a Scrabble word. It is
a hacky sack technique.
It's another term for balsam poplar.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
You know, one of my favorite games used to be Balderdash?
Mm-hmm.
Because when all my friends were in their 20s, we would get together and they'd want to play games. Well, here's the thing. They drank. I didn't. So when I got high, I got more creative. They got drunk and they got dumber. And so, yeah, I killed it, Balderdash.
All right, Rebecca, this is the last one.
Okay.
Moo Moo. And I'm only saying it like that because it's M-U-U, M-U-U. Moo Moo.
Okay, Moo Moo is a Scrabble word. Also, it is a gown that women
wear. Yeah.
It is a long, loose.
I wore one once.
Dress.
Jonathan Weirshow.
I did not know it was spelled like that, though. I thought it was just M-U-M-U. Coming up on the Jonathan Weirshow, it's Rod's punishment. He is not looking forward to this.
No, it's not cool.
But you definitely will enjoy it. That's coming up at 8:55 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weirshow.
All right, so to end the show this week, since he had the lowest amount of points on the week. God, even losing to Rebecca.
That's pretty sad.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Rod Babcock.
Okay, I was barely here. I hardly played a game.
One day.
I also missed a day, Rod. So.
Yeah, and it didn't affect her at all.
A good point. Okay.
Your mic isn't on, Rod.
That's a good point. You got me there. I should have done better.
Wait, why can't I hear you?
I can hear Rod.
You can hear him? I can't hear anything.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I didn't do anything.
Obviously, you did something.
Obviously.
No, my headphone jack isn't working. Oh, this is great. This is good radio. Hold on a second.
I got to do the thing where you push the button. You can't hear me, so it doesn't matter. Well, that's cool. So I could tell you how to fix it, but you can't hear me, so.
Rod, what's your punishment?
Okay, so. Hold on. I'm very embarrassed.
Rod's punishment. I had to get my phone out here. Is he was telling me that while he was high on pain pills, he started...
Okay, here's the thing. I shouldn't tell you stuff is the first part of this. We're going to run out of time here. The point is, I was whacked out of my mind on pain pills right after I got out of the hospital. It was like the first night. I'd been cooped up in the hospital bored. Everybody in the house is asleep but me, and I'm sitting downstairs in the basement by myself listening to music. And there's certain people in this world that you think are really cool, and you respect them and you think they're cool, so you just kind of don't talk to them because you know if you do, you're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be embarrassed like a little 12-year-old girl. So instead, I get high on pain pills and then I text Greg Todd in the middle of the night.
From Johnny Dare's show.
Oh, no.
And ooh. I'm like, hey, dude, I don't know if you heard about my back, but you know, I'm just sitting here hanging out. So my punishment is I have to read the text.
Okay, let's hear it.
Don't know if you heard, but my back went out in a major way. Had a quick trip, had to call 911 on myself and spend two nights in the hospital. Crazy ass, but anyways. I'm sitting here. Oh, God, it's so embarrassing. I'm sitting here listening to music, and I thought of something. Didn't know who else to share it with, but it seems funny.
Because Greg does parody songs, by the way.
Right. Greg, that's one of the things Greg does. He's really good at it.
Really good.
And I said, hey, you know, Aerosmith, I'm back in the saddle. It could be about your back being out and be my back. And of course, it's B-A-A-A-A-A.
That's actually pretty funny.
And he actually laughed.
Wait, there was an... Okay, yes.
He responded okay. in the middle of the night.
He actually laughed and said, you know, he said, yeah, my back makes me feel addled again.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah. And then he said, hey, you got to get better so you can come see our show in Lincoln next month.
Okay.
I was like, great. And then I was like, yeah, and then there's this other one.
Oh, no.
Come on.
It's about having the munchies, and it's munching after midnight instead of living after midnight.
And he responded.
And then it says, ready to take on any meal, loaded. Anyways, and then it says, sorry, I'm higher than giraffe ass. I actually typed that.
And he wrote?
Nothing. There was no response after
that. The Jonathan Weir Show.